Hi, my name is Gopi Kumar. I'm a program manager at Microsoft in the algorithms and data science team. My topic is exploring the R SQL boundary. So basically, we're going to talk about how you can deal with databases with R. We saw a number of great presentations before, so you're all already primed up for this particular talk. So briefly, the agenda I have is, let's just set up the motivation for why as R programmers we need to worry about databases and SQL, and then some of the options for R to talk to databases, and then briefly talk about some best practices that we have seen. So relational databases, these are the workhorses of modern IT, so they're storing a lot of mission critical applications, store the data there. Corporations have already built data marts and data warehouses that are based on relational technology. And mainly these were built several years back for like business users to go and do ad hoc querying and stuff like that. And now, so this is a great resource and asset that as data scientists you can use to kind of tap into some of the corporate data that's already built in and do more advanced analytics. So previously, the analytics was restricted to kind of generating some dashboards and reports. But now I think with the availability of the ubiquitousness of machine learning algorithms and advanced analytics, you can take this data and then do more advanced analytics. And databases, they have a pretty good track record of reliability, availability, security. So these are pretty well trusted within companies. And R, as we know, has always had the limitations on being able to analyze the data that can only fit in the memory. But being able to use a databases opens up the ways to actually to use more larger data and to use it for analysis. So some of the recent innovations, some of the previous speakers say touched upon it. So these have been incorporated into the databases. For example, columnar store. So this is a way in which you can actually store, instead of storing the data row-wise, you can store the data in a column-wise fashion. And this is very useful for analytics when often you're doing like a summary of like specific columns. And in a row-based storage, you will end up doing like a full table scan, which performs horribly. Whereas with the column store, you get the benefit of like fast analytical processing. And the other major benefit of column store is also the compression that you can get. So the actual data that the storage requirements is much lower, because many times you find that columns have like repeating values. So you don't have to store like multiple copies of the same value. So you just have one single cell for the value, and then a lot of pointers to kind of various rows that contain those data. So in turn, this enables in-memory OLTP and analytics. So since you have columnar store, you can do fast processing, and then you can also have this compression. Now all of a sudden, it kind of opens up, and then like the memories that the servers have, so it enables you to do in-memory based processing. And this has led to what is called as hybrid transaction analytical processing. This is a term that's coined by Gartner. But essentially what it means is, in the traditional world, you used to have online transactional databases where real-time transactions are coming in and you're doing kind of a lot of writes, and you tend to kind of avoid doing reads from those databases. And then there'll be like a separate data mart or a data warehouse where you would actually have like an ETL process that moves the data from point A to point B. But with these, some of these innovations from like NoSQL and other environments, so we've seen that. So it's enabling the hybrid transaction processing where your same database can actually do both the transactional workloads as well as your analytical workloads. And this in turn leads to the final one, which is like real-time analytics. So now you can have, as transactions are coming in, you are actually able to kind of do analysis kind of almost on the fly without kind of waiting for data to be kind of replicated or with expensive like ETL process. So that kind of opens up for the doors to kind of expand your analytics. Next, relational databases. Even though there's a lot of attention on unstructured data, Hadoop, and all those ecosystems, so those are very good for extremely large data. But still, I think the relational database market, it's still growing. It's still kind of the bulk of kind of the overall global database market. Size of data, again, unstructured is growing leaps and bounds, but I think the structured data is also kind of growing pretty heavily. So on the SQL, again, there's a lot of peers. So since SQL is standards-based, so it's an ANSI SQL, even though each database technology implements slightly differently, but I think those skills are pretty transferable. So there's a lot of people who understand SQL, both software developers, analysts, and even some business users. And then SQL abstracts the storage, so you can independently like tune your how the execution and the physical structure and storage, like you can create new indexes without kind of breaking your code. And then you really focus on what and the why. And SQL is very extensible, so even though like NoSQL started with like NoSQL, now it is called not only SQL or something like that, right? So basically the SQL has been adopted by like all the like the big data technologies, so by Hive, Sparkle, Microsoft has a USQL which allows you to query like very large petabyte scale data stores. Facebook has a Facebook query language, and then SQL itself has been extended. Like it has like windowing functions which are very useful for analytics, and finally it maps pretty well to a lot of R constructs. So your table is like a data frame, and then like attributes are like columns. So there's a pretty close matching with. So here's kind of different ways that I think R and SQL you can interact. This is actually a continuum, though for convenience I've shown as a 2x2 matrix. You can actually this is really a continuum. So on the x-axis you see so what's your predominant language that you're using to kind of pull the data? So that can be R or SQL. And then on the y-axis, you see where the like, lot of the post-processing happening, whether it's happening like locally or whether it's happening on the server, like closer to the data. So let's go into kind of each of the quadrants. So on the lower left, you see I think this is kind of the simplest way. So if your data is like really small, traditionally, yeah, you extract the data into like CSV files, and then after that you work with R. So you are not even kind of dealing with R or SQL with SQL. You're just dealing with like CSV files and processing the usual way. On the lower right, you see that you're actually pulling the data using various database libraries like RODBC, RJDBC, or DBI, where you're actually pulling the data, and then after that, a lot of the post-processing is actually happening locally. And then with like dplyr, you can actually do you deal mostly with like R, But I think you are actually executing some of those queries. So dplyr is actually formatting those queries and executing them on the server. And lastly, I think you see the in-database analytics. So this is where you are actually moving the analytics and execution closer to the data. So we'll look at the examples like for three of these. So I'll start with like the RODBC. So this is a cross-platform. And then cross database, so many most of the popular databases have ODBC drivers. You need to have the database driver installed on the machine where you're actually making the queries. And by the way, there are ODBC drivers even to query like spreadsheets and CSV files and stuff like that too. And then you use the execute SQL commands to either execute a SQL query, or you can fetch like the whole table into R and then work within R as a data frame. And then usually all the post-processing happens on the R side on the local machine. So you look at some query samples. So you open the RODBC, and then you construct a connection string, and then call the ODBC driver connect. And this connection string depends on your database. And then once you have the kind of the connection opened, after that it's like irrespective of the databases, you query in kind of the similar way. So here you're formatting this query. So I'm taking a data from one of the public data sets, the New York Tax data set, and then I'm sampling. I'm bringing like 5% of the data from that's stored in the database, already stored in the database. I'm bringing it here, and then later I can do the processing. So all the data is in the data frame after you bring it to the ODBC. Next method that you can work with database is dplyr. This is probably more preferred way if you're currently using ODBC. So this allows you to use purely R to query databases. And the good thing is whether you're querying a local data frame or a remote databases, you use the same paradigm in order to query the database. And there are several databases are supported. So the only requirement is they need to have a DBI compliant library. And it also supports some other advanced functions like windowing. And at the back under the covers, it's actually translating all those R commands, like, and the various verbs. We'll get into more details on the verbs. It converts them into like SQL. And nice thing it does is it does kind of lazy evaluation. So when you have a stack of verbs in dplyr, finally they get converted to SQL kind of in a single batch, and there's only one call that kind of goes out into SQL only when you need to kind of access that data. So these are kind of the various dplyr constructs if you're familiar with. So they map pretty neatly into SQL verbs. So filter allows you to kind of take a subset of the rows, bring them in. Arrange allows you to kind of sort them. So the equivalent in SQL is sort by. Then you have select, mutate, so where you can actually do some transformation kind of a computation. Group by allows you to do various kind of aggregation or various columns. And then summarization lets you do aggregate functions like calculating mean, median. And then it supports, like, if you have like multiple data sources, you can actually join them together using joins. So there are inner join, outer join, and so all these joins are kind of directly mapped into the SQL land as join commands. And finally, in dplyr, you kind of, when you need the data, you kind of do a collect. That's when actually the query gets created, the SQL query, and then shipped to the database, and then you get the results back. After that, you work kind of locally. And then typically you chain them with the pipe command. So it's kind of a nice way to kind of organize your code. So here's an example with Postgres. So our Postgres SQL is a DBI compliant library that supports the Postgres interface. And then you do a SRC SQL, SRC Postgres. And this you can replace it, like if you have a MySQL, it can be SRC MySQL. Connect the database with those credentials and issue the queries through, and then kind of do the piping here. So it kind of, so here I'm kind of running a query, or you could get the whole table, and then doing a grouping by one of the columns. And then summarizing the numbers for in this particular data set, it says, okay, how many trips where I actually had a tip, for example, and then what's the mean tip distance for like each of the like kind of different tip values. So if you're trying to predict tip value, you want to see if the trip distance is a factor in kind of predicting how much tip will be there. Finally, we'll go into the in-database analytics. So this is a new feature in SQL Server. Some other databases also support different variations of this. So here the idea is that you are running the analytics closer to the data. So you are able to actually kind of move, so as a data scientist, you can actually move the workload kind of processing right where the data is and avoid some of the data movements. And also, like the DBAs, they kind of like to kind of do the data governance, which is essentially it means, okay, having a better control over who has access to data and how the data is used. And basically, the in-database, there are two ways in which in-database analytics is supported. So one is, so I can be sitting on my analytics on my RStudio, and I can issue an R command, but actually the command actually executes remotely on the database server. And the second way I can do is I can actually embed like R code into databases support like stored procedures. So you can embed R into a stored procedure and invoke the stored procedure using say RODBC or any, or from any language for that matter. So this allows you to kind of mix and match SQL. So you can SQL is very good at certain things, R is good at certain things, so you can actually leverage the relative strengths of each of these platforms. Give you a little bit more details on how this in-database analytics works. So I can be working on my like RStudio, any R IDE, and I have my R script, and here I can say okay, like Rx in SQL Server. So this is a call that actually specifies where your SQL Server. It's not actually opening connection at this point. It's actually kind of specifying like where your SQL Server is. And then you say, okay, set your compute context. So you say the compute context for my R commands is going to be within the server. So at that point, you run this compute context is mainly supported for the Microsoft R library, or it used to be called the Rivo's scalar. There is a way to kind of remotely execute. I'll show examples for doing even the open source R also. So by default, so what happens here is when you see Rx lin mod, the linear model building actually runs on the server, and it gets some so it uses the data that's available on the server and then just returns the model object only back to the client, and then you can do additional processing. So here is the code to actually run R within the server context. So this is within your RStudio running on your laptop or wherever. So you open specify the connection string, and then set the compute context to the SQL CC, and then you specify the command. So it's pretty similar command that we saw with the other methods. And here, so this is where you specify what your data source is. My data source is Rx SQL Server data, and then this is my query, and this is my connection string. So at this point, the query is still not running, actually. So next you run, let's say I want to do a summarization. So you say the Rx summary is the Microsoft R library that does a summary, and it's actually able to kind of do it in parallel. So the other advantage of using the Rx functions is it can actually do it in a parallel in multiple threads, and it's not limited to the memory available on the server. So here you specify the formula for the summary and then the data source. Similarly, you can run a histogram. So all the processing still happens on the server because we have set the compute context as the SQL Server. And then you can even build a model. So all these things happens again on the server. So next, I'll show you how we can actually do it within. Let's say you want to just do a ggplot and open source R command. So here you use the rx exec command, and then specify the function that you want to actually dispatch to the server. So here I've defined instead of using the rx histogram, I'm using the qplot. And then plotting the histogram. So the actual data points actually come from within the database, and only the actual plot the binary kind of travels across the network. So once you have a model or a plot, you can actually operationalize it as a stored procedure. So within SQL Server, so you create a stored procedure, and then you say sp execute external script. And then specify the language as R. So this is the first language that's supported within SQL Server. And then within this code, the script, what you see is a pretty standard R commands. And so once you create this stored procedure, now like any program, it could be written in Java, it could be written in PHP, can just open a connection, call the database, and then like receive a prediction, for example. So this is a way you would operationalize it within your existing applications. So some of the best practices, these are pretty well known. So you retrieve only data that you need, try to compute some of the aggregates, especially for like very large data, compute them in SQL. Minimize the round trips by combining your queries or running like batch queries or using sort procedures. And then be aware of some of the type conversions, especially like string as factors and dates. So those you need to be aware of. When you're using the Microsoft RS SQL services, you can configure the parallelism. So in terms of number of the degree of parallelism and number of threads that it can use. And then,
maybe one question at this point. Yes.
Okay.
Repeat the question, please.
Okay, so the question was how we are doing the modeling beyond the data in the memory. So the Microsoft R servers supports like data chunking, and then it actually kind of distributes it across a cluster or like multiple processes. And then it uses kind of various technology, and it can also dispatch it to like a Hadoop cluster or a Spark. So you can actually specify how the data is chunked and all the algorithms. So that's why you have to use the RX linmod function, which is a linear model function, which is implemented to kind of do these the distributed processing.
All right, let's thank the speaker. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. So here's some.
Okay. Yes, I'm going to ask all the speakers for the slides so that I can have a copy, and then I'll make sure it's posted on the website at least for my session. So, and thanks to all the speakers. It is a wonderful session, actually, quite interesting. Thank you.